The Gospel of John, chapter 10, with a word of wisdom from our Father in Jesus' name, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door, which is Christ, the true Christ, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. He is that Word of God, the Word made flesh, the true Christ. And upon the return of the true Christ at the seventh trumpet, he will separate the sheep from the goats, as you can read of in Matthew chapter 25. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. And this stranger is speaking of Antichrist, the false shepherd, the idol shepherd, you can read of in Zechariah chapter 11. For they know not the voice of strangers. So this was the first thing that Christ warned us of in Matthew 24, as well as Mark 13 and Luke 21. Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And that's an all-inclusive warning, including the false Christ, who will appear at the sixth trumpet, claiming to be Jesus returned. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Continuing on from the previous chapter, in response to the Pharisees, which asked him, are we blind also? And then Jesus responded, if you were blind, ye should have no sin, but now ye say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. And then he goes into chapter 10 with the same thought carrying through into chapter 10, verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. One of Satan's names, the destroyer, you can read of it in Revelation chapter 9, verse 11. Abaddon, Apollyon, means the destroyer in the Hebrew and Greek. I am come that they might have life, eternal life, that is to say, and that they might have it more abundantly, having God's blessings even during this flesh age, up until the seventh trumpet, whenever they go into that sheepfold, that is to say, the millennium, in eternal bodies, eternal spiritual bodies that are going into the third world age, as opposed to spiritual bodies with mortal, liable to die souls. That would be the goats of Matthew chapter 25. So if you make it as far as standing against Satan with that gospel armor on and in place, then you will go into the sheepfold. Otherwise, you'll be scattered throughout the earth like a bunch of goats. And that's the analogy there in that parable, which parallels this parable. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. Three times now, I am the sacred name. I am that I am, Yahweh. And Yahweh's salvation, Christ Jesus, is who said this. Again, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Christ going only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel initially, but after his death, burial, and resurrection, salvation was opened unto whosoever will. And there you have it. All are God's children, and all are one in Christ Jesus. And if you go to Zechariah chapter 11, let's look at the fake shepherd that's coming, Satan, when he appears as the false Christ. Verse 15 of Zechariah 11, And the Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd, for lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. This is the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, to kill spiritually and to destroy spiritually and to steal your very salvation if you allow yourself to be deceived by Satan when he appears as the false Christ. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock, and Satan appears at the woe of the sixth trumpet. The sword shall be on his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. Satan's role of Antichrist, as well as his one world system, will be destroyed in that lake of fire upon the return of the true Christ. And Satan himself will be cast into that lake of fire after the 1,000 years are finished, because his role of Antichrist and his one world system aren't two individuals. It's simply his role of Antichrist, the false prophet, and his one world system, the beast, which includes his evil spirit. And he's no longer allowed to use his evil spirit to deceive people during the 1,000 years, as you know from Revelation chapter 20. So going back to the Gospel of John and chapter 10 and verse 17, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And so it was that he died on the cross, paying that price for one and all times, and then he resurrected. And 40 days afterwards, he ascended to the Father. 10 days after that, the first Pentecost after the resurrection occurred, at which time the Holy Spirit spake through the apostles as a perfect example of what will transpire during Satan's tribulation. God's elect will be delivered up, at which time the Holy Spirit will speak through them. Now here comes another division, and pick up on the pattern of divisions that we've been analyzing in the last few chapters, and here's another one. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and this can mean a member of the tribe of Judah or a resident of Judea, that word Iudas in the Greek. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So you see, this continues on from the previous chapter, where he healed the blind man that was blind from birth. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. They're goats, but they can convert any time they so choose. It's whosoever will. Upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, they have that opportunity right there for the taking to become part of the sheepfold, that is to say, Christianity. Even a Kenite can convert, and all are one in Christ Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Not even that man of sin, because they have that seal of God in their forehead, and they're not going to be deceived whenever Satan appears as the false Christ. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is God. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true, and many believed on him there. Now, whenever he says, ye are gods, he's quoting from Psalm 82. Let's read Psalm 82 now. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. You're supposed to stop and meditate and analyze what's being said there. Now, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. As I said, when Christ returns, the true Christ, he'll separate the sheep from the goats. That is to say, those that overcame the tribulation of Satan and stood against him in his one world system, they go into the sheepfold. That is to say, the millennial kingdom with everlasting souls. And they're not going into the lake of fire. The second death has no power upon those who take part in that first resurrection. The goats have to go through the millennium, and they're taught the discipline, and if they so choose to stand against Satan after the 1,000 years are finished, then they can go into the eternity as well, which is what God's will is, that none should perish but all come to repentance. Because in the first world age, all of God's children were happy and all sang for joy, as it's written in the book of Job in chapter 38, but then Satan rebelled. And that's why we're in this flesh age, and that's why it was necessary for Christ to come and pay the price on the cross for one and all times to begin with. To continue in Psalm 82, verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless, do justice to the afflicted and needy, deliver the poor and needy, rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Now this verse interprets itself. What does it mean, ye are gods? It means you're children of the Most High. That's what Elohim in the Hebrew means. You'll find it also in Genesis chapter 1, where God said, let us create man in our image. And that word is Elohim as well. That was the Father speaking to the children, okay? It's very simple, not complicated. And in their own image, in the same image they were in the first world age. And he included himself there, and that's why Christ could say, I and the Father are one. God created Christ in his own image, and that's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us. The triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. This is why Eve in Genesis chapter 3 was called the mother of all living, because if you're not in Christ, then you're not living. And from Adam and Eve, eventually would come the Lord Jesus Christ. He came from the tribes of Israel. So again, I have said, ye are gods, Elohim, and all of you are children of the Most High, which is what Elohim means. Didn't say Yahweh there, said Elohim. Different word. But ye shall die like men if you don't accept the word of God, that is to say the true Christ. You shall die in that lake of fire, and you will die in the flesh. But then where are you going to go? Are you going to go to the good side of the gulf, and from there the eternity, or the bad side of the gulf where the rich man was in Luke chapter 16? It's up to you. Accept Christ, get into your Father's Word, study it chapter by chapter and verse by verse, whereby you're not deceived whenever Satan shows up as the false Christ, and you're good to go. So long as you stay in the Word and read it with understanding, how are you going to be deceived if you do that? Exactly. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. So, not only is Christ going to divide the sheep from the goats at the seventh trumpet, but after the 1,000 years are finished, and after Satan is cast into that lake of fire, the great white throne judgment occurs, and the full Godhead returns, the triune Godhead, the Father himself returns, because the millennium is a time of salvation as well. That's why the Son returns at the seventh trumpet, Christ Jesus, and then the Father, the full Godhead, will be here at the end of the 1,000 years. And check out verse 7, read it very carefully, "But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princes." And that's the prince of Tyrus, which means rock, not the true rock, but the false rock. And he's the only one who has been sentenced to perish, making him the only son of perdition. So when you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you need not wonder who it's speaking of when it says son of perdition, talking about the false Christ, the Antichrist. It's talking about Satan, because he's the only son of perdition, the only one sentenced to perish by name. And there you have it, the Gospel of John, chapter 10.